America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Last week we were joined by Kelly Carlin, the daughter of the legendary comedian George Carlin. Well, we were talking with Kelly, and all of a sudden time got away from us, and we couldn't use everything with our chat with Kelly, but we can now. So here is part two of our interview with Kelly Carlin.
People want to know his position on everything, which tends to drive me crazy because people ask me the unanswerable question.
Right.
So what would your dad think about Trump? You know, and it's like, well, just look at his material. What do you think?
Yeah. Hold on. I'll call Heaven right now and find out, you know?
Exactly. Let me text him.
Yeah. You know, the cell service up in Heaven's a little sketchy. You know, Wi-Fi hasn't gotten there yet, but let me see what I can do. You know, I also think about with your dad, he also understood his place in the culture, and he understood his impact as well. And he was before the Jon Stewarts, the Stephen Colberts. He did come from the age of Lenny Bruce, but he was one of the first ones, yes, to say that it's okay to be able to talk about important social issues in comedy, and not where it's necessarily going to be funny, but it's going to be thought-provoking, and it's going to make you leave the show that night, and you're going to think about these things. You know, you also have a very interesting book out, A Carlin Home Companion. If I remember correct, it's coming out in paperback. I think it's like October 18th or something. Now, first of all, the title, Garrison Keillor Must Have Crapped His Pants.
Well, I never heard from him, so I guess he's okay with it.
You know, I don't think many people are hearing from Garrison right now, but that's a whole other story. Now, we learn that, I mean, growing up in the Carlin household wasn't the easiest thing in the world, was it?
No, it was definitely challenging. Yeah. I mean, it was a combination of a few things, one of which was the times. I was born in 63. Mm-hmm. I watched my dad do the transition from straight comic to counterculture guy. And then, of course, the 60s and 70s introduced lots of fun chemicals for people to experiment with.
Really?
Yes. And then on top of that, my mother was a bit of a drinker. So the first 12 years of my life was a little harrowing. But the thing about our family and the thing about the book is, yes, there's great stories about us being on the road and some harrowing stories about the family dealing with addiction and some dark years. But there's a lot of love and a lot of laughter in our family, too. And yeah, I wanted to write my story. I really feel it's a survivor's story. Mm-hmm. And the story goes on from my childhood, which is like the first 100 pages, into my adult life, and kind of shows, you know, the bad choices I made and the dance I did with my father around my own creative expression. And, you know, so it's actually a very much an American family story, I feel, especially if you're a kid like me who was kind of born right between baby boomer and Gen X generation.
Right.
A lot of people can relate to it, you know, the music and the TV shows that were on at those times, and then kind of the freewheeling parenting that went on a lot back then. I called it laissez-faire parenting, which is, oh, you're not dead? Okay, we're doing a good job.
You're not dead, it's fine, we move on with the day.
Exactly. But yeah, it was a great project for me. I've been wanting to write it for about 15 years and tell my story. And the thing, you know, it was the right time. And people, my dad was in some ways, you know, he was this amazing comic on stage, but he wasn't like Richard Pryor. He didn't talk about himself on stage a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So people really didn't know, like, who's the husband, George Carlin, or who's the father, or who's the man who's struggling with his own creative expression.
Right. We never knew that. You didn't see George Carlin on the front page of the Inquirer when you were over at the Piggly Wiggly back in 76. You just didn't. You know, he was a very private man. I knew he was a Mets fan and not much else. I didn't know anything else about this man.
Yeah, and so I really had to walk a fine balance between respecting that about my father, but also being able to speak the truth, which is something he taught me to do. And there's no truth in the book that he had not talked about himself in public. So, you know, I walked the line, I think, in a great way, and really enjoyed writing the book, and have really just been overwhelmed and floored by the reception of it.
8 years after your father passed away, and now this book is completed, did the project of the book make you feel closer to your dad in any way?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting what I'm going through right now that the book is over, is there's definitely a door closing in some ways, because the last 8 years I've been very busy being George Carlin's daughter out in the world, and I feel like I can now kind of close that chapter a bit, and nowadays I feel like I have a more private relationship with my dad. He's not this object, you know, except for like weeks like this where I talk about him and stuff like that, but I do. I feel like I'm able to relate to him on a different level and kind of have my personal grief back in some ways.
Mm-hmm. He can be Dad. He doesn't have to be George Carlin to you anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's I took the summer off from social media, which really gave me
a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. To do that, because on social media, I find that so many people want to talk to me about him, and I can't. It's overwhelming after 8 years to have to see your father's face and name and quotes over and over again.
Never stops. Sure.
Yeah. It never stops, and you can't really grieve the person if they're never gone. So I'm trying to change my relationship a little bit with social media, but I have a new relationship with my dad, and he's back to just being my dad.
That's
like
good.
You said,
once again, I kind of like it when A Lot of People Die is available on CD, vinyl. That's right, vinyl is back in digital. Kelly Carlin, thank you so much for joining us here in America Weekend.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Where are you likely to overspend? Name the places where you're likely to blow the budget and maybe go in debt. Here's the social science of it. First off, parents are likely to overspend on their children, especially during the holiday. The typical kid asks for 4 or 5 presents, and the typical parent gives 7 to 10. We also overspend on our pets. There are entire stores devoted to Fluffy and Fido. We're also likely to overspend when it comes to college. The difference between state and private college is astronomical. Finally, we're likely to overspend on weddings. What's the cheap psychological trick? Humans spend more when emotions are out of control. To avoid overspending, just put time between you and any purchase. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This explosive receiver was always a threat to go the distance. He initially passed up the NFL for bigger money in the CFL, but he's remembered as one of college football's most electrifying players.
He's at the 30, afterburners around, he's gone, touchdown, Irish!
So, where is Rocket Ishmael now? Rocket made some bad investments after his playing days, but he rebounded and got behind Bite Tech, a company that produces cutting-edge mouthguards for athletes. Rocket also appeared on the reality TV competition Pros vs. Joes.
The Rocket delivers!
With the Rocket speed, deliveries are never late. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.